Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. This is Baruch Hashem, our 31st episode in this series we call Await. And today's shiur, today's class, is being especially dedicated to the schus of a fantastic young man who loves to learn Torah. His name is Shmuel Yisrael ben Chana Sara. And may the merit of the Torah we study together serve as a life elixir, bringing him bracha for refuah shleima and arichas yamim v'shalom tevis, long, happy, and healthy years of Mitzvah Hashem. Amen. Okay, so here is the background. Over the last three episodes, we talked about a very enigmatic statement which is made in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that not talking about Mashiach is a very good idea. Just don't talk about it. Because if you talk about it, you could actually delay his coming. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Now, if you're joining us for the first time and that sounds strange, please go back and watch the previous three episodes. We talk about the Gemara in detail, and then we answered the obvious question in three different fashions. It obviously cannot mean that you shouldn't talk about Mashiach on a literal level, because the Gemara itself violates its own principles in spending the next five pages talking about Mashiach. And here we are asking Hashem so many times, every single day in our tefillah, asking Hashem for Mashiach. So if we're not supposed to talk about Mashiach, we're doing an awful job of that. And it obviously doesn't make sense. So we explain this. We explain this in many different ways. The buzzword was Hesach Hadas. That was the buzzword. The word hesach hadas, hesach means to move. So it's like to divert one's attention. Dat literally means knowledge or awareness. And hesach hadas is the kind of thing that we would say, don't think about the stuff that makes you depressed. Just push it out of your mind. Divert your attention. So for example, there's some people who obsess over the sins that they committed and the mistakes that they made, and they can't get out of the past. They keep talking about their mistakes, and the approach of the Rabbeim was, Hesach Hadas, cast it aside. You'll deal with it at some point. Right now, divert your attention to the here and now and the positive. There's something to be done. Focus on what must be focused upon, because the present and the future is far more important than the mistakes of the past. This is the concept of Hesach Hadas. And we explained that it cannot mean that we should actually divert our attention and not think about Mashiach. That just makes absolutely no sense. So in this episode, I'm not really going to talk so much about that Gemara. And I want to make a little proviso. I'm going to come back to this Gemara. I'm coming back to this Gemara because the Rebbe himself explained it in a very, very unusual way, predicated on a teaching of the previous Rebbe, ultimately hailing back to the book of Tanya itself, where in the fourth section, the Alter Rebbe mentions this Gemara. And he sheds a good deal of light in just a couple of words. So we'll come back to this Gemara, but what I want to talk about today is the idea that we do not divert our attention from Mashiach ever. That's a very big mistake. The one thing that we shouldn't do when it comes to Mashiach is Hesach Hadas. Do not forget about it. Messianic mindfulness is a major issue, and it will necessarily lead us to accelerate the process of redemption and have the privilege to see the coming of Mashiach. And the balance of this class is going to be about that. So we're going to begin this evening in the end of the book of Genesis. Father Jacob, Yaakov Avinu, is now going to begin his farewell to his children. This is in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. It's the fourth reading of Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov will begin to bless his children. But first, there seems to be a false start. Vayikra Yaakov. Yaakov calls his children. Vayomer, and he says, okay, everybody. Hey, Osfu, gather together, assemble yourselves, and I am going to tell you, Va'agidu lachem eis asher yikra eschem ba'achris hayomim. I'm going to tell you what is going to befall you at the end of days. This is presumably the coming of Mashiach. And then, of course, we turn the page, and Yaakov is suddenly speaking in a different tone. Hikabtsu v'shimu, assemble, gather, and listen, and I'm going to talk to you. And he tells them about the future of each one's progeny and how each tribe is going to develop. So Rashi tells us, quoting our sages, that Yaakov Avinu, Father Jacob, so many years ago, we're talking almost 36 centuries ago, he foresaw that the redemption, the coming of Mashiach, a perfected world, which was always the purpose of creation from the very beginning, would only occur thousands of years in the future. Yaakov knew this. He could see us, our age, with perfect clarity. And it was going to be delayed, the coming of Mashiach, unfortunately, by the misdeeds, the sins, sins of omission, sins of commission, of the intervening generations. So Yaakov thought to himself, listen, I'm not publishing this in the newspaper. I'm not posting it on Facebook. I'm telling my sons. This is the inner coterie. He said he knew how brave and courageous, how loving and dedicated and devoted his children were. So he believed that if Yaakov would share this with his sons, that they would sort of impart to the next generation the importance of behaving as a yid should. Because otherwise you're going to delay this for a very long time. And Yaakov's intention is to hasten or accelerate the arrival of Mashiach. After all, as the Rebbe once explained, Yaakov himself had seen firsthand the way a seven-year famine had been shortened to 2 years. So Hashem can make a decree, and then he can rescind the decree, and the good times can come more quickly. Yaakov was not worried that his children would become disheartened. Yaakov, he knew that they were righteous. He knew that they were very strong characters. He wasn't concerned. He was very, very confident that his children would use this information constructively. Okay, that's Yaakov's idea. But God has other ideas. So if God doesn't want Yaakov to talk about it, what does God do? He gave him a senior moment. That's all. He doesn't want Yaakov to divulge the information. He withdraws it. Yaakov can want to tell everybody about whatever he wants, but he doesn't have the information now. All right, plan B. So instead he says, then I'm going to tell you about your children. I'm going to talk about their potential. That doesn't take away freedom of choice from anybody, but it's empowering to know what kind of potential you have. It's uplifting to know what we could be if we choose to. So that's what Yaakov focuses his attention on. And as previously, all Father Jacob is interested in is motivating future generations to live up to their spiritual potential, to do their part in perfecting our world. And Yaakov begins to speak. And Reuven, he gets it over the head. And Shimon and Levi, oy vey, they get very seriously rebuked because Yaakov is trying to effectuate a corrective behavior for the future. So he hasn't been talking about this. He's been eating him up inside for all this time. And now is the moment. He says, guys, this was bad news bears. Terrible stuff. You can't continue to replicate this bad behavior. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, who's the next son? Yehuda. Yehuda heard his father rebuke his three older brothers. Yehuda thought to himself, it's not looking good. He knew about his dubious incident with Tamar, and maybe his father knows about what he did or didn't do with the story of Yosef, and Yehuda, he begins to shy away. He's going to make himself very scarce. And Yaakov, who is not really having a senior moment, other than being blocked from information because Hashem doesn't want him to know, but otherwise he's totally engaged and involved. He's clued in. He picks up on the tiniest nuances. He notices Yehuda shying away, and he says, Yehuda, 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 don't worry. No anxiety for you. Stay right where you are. You are not going to be getting rebuke. And he begins to speak words of praise, and he says, I want to tell you about the glorious future of your children. And he says, Yodcha ata yeducha achecha. Your brothers will praise you. Your descendants, your future, yodcha ba'oyrefei vecha, their hand will metaphorically, it's a euphemism, be holding on to the neck of their fleeing enemies. In other words, that he's going to vanquish them. Yishtachavu l'cho b'nei avicha, your father's sons, in other words, your brothers, will bow down to the sovereigns, the Jewish kings, who will issue forth from Yehuda. So we hear Yaakov already beginning to confer the royal bloodline on the tribe of Yehuda. And Yaakov Avinu continues to speak. He says, Gur Arye Yehuda. Yehuda, referring to his descendants, are going to be like a young cub, a lion cub. And as Rashi explains to us, the royal career of this descendant, very famous descendant of Yehuda, will begin when he is subordinate to another king before assuming the throne. Who are we talking about? David, King David. King David is subordinate to King Shaul, his father-in-law. But it doesn't stay that way. So this prophecy, of course, is fulfilled in David HaMelech, who begins his meteoric rise as the eternal sovereign of Israel, who starts off as a subordinate to Shaul HaMelech, to King Saul, a descendant of Benjamin. But essentially, Father Jacob, Yaakov Avinu, makes it very clear that he is conferring upon Yehuda the honor and the dignity and the glory of being the progenitor of the royal line of the Jewish people. From you, royalty will come. And this, of course, is the house of David HaMelech. And there's lots to say about the subsequent words and how they essentially encapsulate Yehuda's behavior and the things he did that were well appropriate and appropriate, the good things that he did, which demonstrated care and concern and leadership, and how that would translate into royalty in the future. And then from the lion cub, he speaks about Korah, Ravatz, Ka'arye, that the Jewish people, led by the reign of one of the descendants of Yehuda, this of course is the son of David HaMelech, Shlomo, King Solomon, that the nation of Israel will be able to crouch and lie down like a lion, which means it's a euphemism for the Jewish people dwelling in security, in peace, serenity. And they will be chilavi miyakemenu, like a fearsome lion. Nobody wants to rouse the sleeping lion. Lion's resting, that's great. And of course, during the entire reign of Shlomo HaMelech, the Jewish people were disturbed by conflict, violence, and war. But of course, it doesn't last. I mean, the house of David HaMelech eventually collapses. 15 generations later, the proverbial moon of the Jewish people is entirely eclipsed, disappears with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yaakov Avinu continues. And in verse 10 of chapter 49, he says, Le'yosur shevet miYehuda. He says, the scepter of royalty, of regency, of sovereignty, will not depart from the tribe of Yehuda. Our sages tell us that this refers to the period of the Babylonian exile, where the Jewish people were led by descendants of Malchus Beis David, of the house of David. They were called Reish Galuta, or the exile arches. So royalty or leadership, rulers of the Jewish people, continued to come from Yehuda. Umechaykek, Mebein Aglav. And lawgivers, meaning the scholars who will adjudicate and issue rulings on halakha, will not cease from amongst his descendants. And this prophecy is fulfilled by the leaders of the Sanhedrin, most notably the family of Hillel. And this time, it was apparent that the Jewish people would not fulfill their destiny in establishing a Davidic monarchy. And so, they said, at this point, we confer that agency, that regency, that royalty upon the sages. And this was the house of Hillel, who were no longer called rabbis, but Rabban. Rabban is a conjunction of Rebbe and Nossi. Rabban. Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Shimon, etc. And Yehuda's preeminence is going to continue in some of the most outstanding Torah sages of the last two millennia have been from the tribe of Yehuda. In fact, most have been from the tribe of Yehuda, many of them having direct bloodlines, being able to trace their bloodlines back to Malchus Beis David. This will continue ad ki yavo Shiloh, until Shiloh comes. And this is the focus of tonight's class. Who is Shiloh? Who is Shiloh? What is Shiloh? Where is Shiloh? What is this? But Shiloh will come. And when Shiloh comes, v'lo yikasamim, and then entire nations are all going to assemble. Everybody will come to hear his teachings, his inspiration. Who is Shiloh? So the first place I want to go is a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash Rabbah, and this is in the Bereishis Rabbah of Parshas Vayechi, Medrash Rabbah says the following. Ad ki yavo Shiloh. If you follow along inside a book of Medrash, it's chapter 98 of Medrash Rabbah on Bereshit, on Genesis, and it's subsection 8. So it says, L'yosser shevet mi Yehuda. And then it says, Ad ki yavo Shiloh. The scepter will not depart until Shiloh comes. Who is Shiloh? So the Medrash says, Ze melech HaMashiach. This is the anointed king. This is what the world calls the Messiah. We call it Mashiach. The Eitz Yosef explains. Kelomar, in other words, what Yaakov Avinu was saying is that Shevet Memshalto Yihye Nimshech Bekerev Yisrael, that the scepter of his dominion, of his sovereignty, will continue within the midst of the Jewish people ad ki yavo Mashiach, until the time that Mashiach comes. And why is he called Mashiach? Why is he called Shiloh? Shiloh is like a conjunction for Shehamelucha Shiloh. That royalty is his. Shiloh, Shehamelucha Shiloh. This is what the Medrash says. So when we look at Medrash Rabbah, what do we know? Who is Shiloh? Melech HaMashiach. Now, there's a very interesting comment in the Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma, in Parshas Vayechi, chapter 10 of the Medrash, says, Ad ki yavo Shiloh, and the Medrash does not fully translate what that means. It just says, who is that? Shehamalchut Shiloh. That the Malchut, that royalty is his. That's the meaning of Ad ki yavo Shiloh. Until Shiloh comes, for kingship will be his. Now I see somebody who is mentioning here on the live chat that one of the names of Mashiach is Shiloh. Yes, this is true. This is true. There's different names. This is the Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin on page 98. And that is like a part of this discussion. But what we're talking about now is the way to understand this verse in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu is saying very clearly to Yehuda that sovereignty will remain with your tribe straight till the end. Straight till the end. Till the coming of Mashiach. And of course beyond, because Mashiach is Ben David. Now very, very interestingly, Rashi tells us, Ad ki yavo Shiloh, Rashi sews together the Medrash Rabbah and the Medrash Tanchuma. This is like a prime example of how Rashi created a tapestry of what he called Terumot Medrashi Chazal. He selected a thread from here, and a thread from there, and a thread from there, and he wove it together, created a fabric. So Rashi says four words. Ad ki yavo Shiloh, that's what the Pasuk says, until Shiloh comes, says Rashi, Melech HaMashiach, the anointed king, Shehamelucha Shiloh. So the Medrash Tanchuma says Melucha Shiloh, but doesn't say Melech HaMashiach. The Medrash Rabbah says Melech HaMashiach, but doesn't say Melucha Shiloh. That's what the Eitz Yosef is saying. So Rashi sews it together. There you go. This is like what we call lapidary prose. Very precise, chiseled, exact words. polished, exact, a polished statement. Ad ki yavo shilo, shilo, melech ha-mashiach, sh'amalucha shalo.
Why can't we stick to
Mashiach? Because why is he called Shiloh? What is Shiloh? And we're going to see tonight that Shiloh has multiple meanings. And that, of course, presents the big question. But this is the first interpretation. First interpretation. Rashi says, very interestingly, Unkelus says exactly what I say. Rashi is not saying, look in Unkelus. Rashi is saying, Melech HaMashiach Shamalucha Shiloh. Why does Rashi say the words Melech HaMashiach Shehamelucha Shelo? I think. But the problem with the words Shilo doesn't say Melech HaMashiach. Shilo says Shilo. Who is Shilo? I don't know who Shilo is. So the Medrash Tanchuma indicates that Shilo is like a shortened phrase, a catchphrase. It's a catchphrase of putting the words Shehamelucha Shelo. Shehamelucha Shelo. So you say it quickly, Yeshilo, like an acronym. You know, it's like in Yiddish, Seudah Shlishit is called Shalosh Shudos. What is Shalosh Shudos? So the answer is, if you say Shalosh Seudot, say it 10 times, and you'll end up saying Shalosh Shudos. That's just the way it is. So Hebrew works like that. Sometimes you have conjunctive phrases. So he says, Melech HaMashiach, why is he called Shiloh? Shehamelucha Shiloh. He identifies him. He is Melech HaMashiach. The Medrash Tanchuma doesn't identify. Medrash Tanchuma just gives the reason. He explains the word Shiloh. The Medrash Rabbah tells it who this is, but the Medrash Rabbah doesn't explain why he's called Shiloh. So drawing on the Medrash Rabbah and the Medrash Tanchuma, Rashi is able to identify both the person and the reason the Torah calls him Shiloh. And then, very interestingly, Rashi doesn't say, just look at Unkelus. Because clearly, his source is not Unkelus. His source is Rabbah, Medrash Rabbah, and Tanchuma. Then he says, V'chein tirgumei Unkelus. Unkelus said the same thing. What does Unkelus say? I'll read it to you in its original Aramaic. He says, D'yese Mashiach, until Mashiach comes. Till Mashiach comes. So, ki yavo shilo, ad ki yavo shilo means till Mashiach comes. The delay hi malchusa. Because his is royalty. Now, if Rashi was simply to take the words of Unkelus, you wouldn't be able to understand the word Shiloh. Because Unkelus may have had the same sources, but in Unkelus' words, it doesn't explain how Shiloh is Mashiach. So Rashi uses the phraseology of Tanchuma and Medrash Rabbah, and he says, Unkelus said the same thing. So the meaning is found in Unkelus. The precise methodology of how we get Shiloh to mean that we need to use the Midrashim. So Rashi has both matter of fact, he has etymology, and he has a cross-reference, that this is what it means. Very interestingly, Rashi himself is not satisfied, because at the end of the day, Shiloh is still not Mashiach, and it's still not Shehamelucha Shiloh. So Rashi says, there is a Midrash. What I just told you now, he says, is the literal meaning. But there's a medrash. And the medrash augments the literal meaning. The medrash says, medrash agoda, an agadic medrash, that Shiloh means Shiloh. It's two words, actually. So it's not like a shalashudas, a chalant, a mix of shehamelucha shalo, which is dropping three quarters of its syllables. No. It's got all the syllables. Shiloh, just make a little cut between shy and low. It's two words recited as one, as a name. But the name is made up of two words put together. And the name is Shy Low. A gift to him. A gift to him? Where does that come from? It says Rashi, Shenemar, for it is written. And here Rashi is going to draw on the words of David HaMelech in Tehillim, Yovilo Shai Lamore. They will bring a gift to the master. What does this mean? Shiloh. So if you take a look in the Tehillim, when it says this verse, Yovilo Shiloh, this is in the 87th Psalm. In the 87th Psalm, Verse 12, it says over there, Nidru, you should make vows. Vishalmu la'Hashem alekeichem, and you should pay up your vows. People just like make pledges. That's not good enough just to make pledges. Make pledges and then honor your pledges. And he says you should know kol seviva, from all the surroundings, yavilu shaila mora. They're going to bring a gift. Now the word mora actually means awesome. He was awesome. What is this talking about? If we take a look in the Targum on Tehillim says, Yetun kurbanaya lebeit mikdosho dechil. They will bring their offering to the temple, the sanctuary, the Beit HaMikdosh, which is awesome. So actually, if we follow the Targum, the meaning of Shiloh, Yavo Shiloh, they will bring Shiloh, isn't referring to Mashiach. It's referring to a place. It's referring to a very specific place or a structure or edifice that has yet to rise. Namely, the third Beis HaMikdash, which, incidentally, is very much connected to the coming of Mashiach, as we learned in the early episodes of this series, that how do we know who Mashiach is? When he rebuilds the third Beis HaMikdash. That's when we know. So when what Yaakov then is saying is, Shiloh would be a euphemism for the Beis HaMikdash. Even though Shiloh is a town in Israel, a separate town. But Shiloh is where the first Mishkan was, actually. Mishkan Shiloh. It's a different place. It's what the world calls the West Bank. We call it just Eretz Yisrael. But in that place where there was a Beis HaMikdash of sorts, standing for 360 plus years, a long time. So in that place called Shiloh, that's where the Jewish people used to go. This is before Yerushalayim. But Shiloh here is not referring to that place. Shiloh here is referring to Shiloh. Now, of course, the problem is that Shiloh is spelled Shin Yud Lamed He. And Shiloh is Shin Yud, Shai, and Lo is Lamed Vav. Lamed Vav in Hebrew is Lo to him. So how do you work that out? So Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi says that sometimes we have a He instead of a Vav. And he brings an example from Genesis 12, verse 8, where it says that Ohalo, his tent, instead of saying Ohalo with a Vav, it says Ohalo with a He. So there is something like that in biblical literature. Clearly, it's not so simple, because at the end of the day, it doesn't say that. And there is a place called Shiloh, and it's not Yerushalayim. And never again is it going to be the ground zero of Jewish spirituality, although it was for more than 3.5 centuries. So it's a Medrash Haggadah. The commonality between both interpretations is that it's either referring to the person of Mashiach, or it's referring to the great accomplishment of Mashiach, the building of the Beis HaMikdash. It's certainly referring to the Messianic era. And what Father Jacob is saying is that what's going to happen is that sovereignty, that regency, that royalty will remain with the tribe of Yehuda, Ad Ki Yavo Shiloh, all the way straight through till Mashiach comes. But this is a tough word. This word does not lend itself to easy interpretation. And because it doesn't lend itself to easy interpretation, that's why you see how Rashi struggles to explain it to us in the most straightforward or simple of fashion, which, as you have learned, is anything but simple. So far, so good. Now we know who Shiloh is. Everything's great. It's Mashiach. Very good. Gets even better. Then we have a Balaturim. Ah, the Balaturim comes along and he says, you know, there's this fantastic study in Jewish life which is called Gematria. How does Gematria work? Gematria works that we can sometimes identify the core essence, the deeper meaning of a word, by the fact that it has a numeric value. And when we took a look at different words and we add up the numeric value and have exactly the same numeric value, it's meaningful. Which doesn't mean that people should go around making Gematrias all day, because a lot of people made Gematrias are a bunch of potpourri of silliness. It doesn't necessarily mean anything, but you have a great tzaddik who knows the whole Torah, and he's able to x-ray the surface and see into the deeper meaning of the words, it becomes quite fascinating. So the Baal Turim does a lot of this. The Baal Turim will oftentimes tell you something that Rashi said, but he'll speak in gematria language. And he does that right here. He says, Yavo Shilo. Guess what the gematria of Yavo Shilo is? He says, Yavo Shilo equals 358. And the word Mashiach is 358. Pretty cool. Here we have this teaching. I showed you how Rashi pieces together the meaning from the way our sages interpreted it. And I'm not going to tell you it's an easy fit, but it's a, you know, it's a fit. This is the tradition. And Hashem speaks to us in most intricate and fascinating ways. So we have to try to figure all the little details out, put all the pieces together. All right. It even works out gematria. Even gematria matches up. Fantastic. Okay. But here is the monkey wrench. Rashi has told us it means Mashiach. He has brought us different explanations of how the word ends up meaning Mashiach, from the person to the third Beis HaMikdash. We even have a gematria that backs it up. Two interpretations in Rashi. It's all fantastic. The future, and it's not only just describing the Beis HaMikdash, it's describing a future event that will happen when Mashiach comes. What will happen when Mashiach comes? The nations of the world will all come to bring gifts to Mashiach. They will all recognize the supremacy of Mashiach. So, this is what's wonderful. Says the Zohar in Chelek Rishon. On Daf Chof Hei, the Zohar says like this. L'yoser shevet mi Yehuda. A scepter will not depart from Yehuda. Says the Zohar, Do Mashiach ben David. This is a direct reference to Mashiach, who is a Sion from the house, the royal house of David. Mechoykek mi ben Raglov, a lawgiver from his descendants, Do Mashiach ben Yosef. This is the mysterious Mashiach ben Yosef. Ad ki yavo Shilo, until Shilo comes, Do Moshe. Shilo is Moshe. Moshe. And the Zohar says the gematria works out perfectly. Chushbon do kido. The cheshban, the calculation, the tally of one is just like the other. So Shilo and Moshe are the same gematria. Both equal 345. How does that work? Well, very simple. Let's do the math. Well, Mem is 40, Mem for Moshe. Shin is 300. And Hey is 5. It's pretty simple. 345. Shilo, instead of a Mem, which is 40, you have a Lamed and a Yud. A Lamed and a Yud, 30 and 10. You don't have to have a degree in accounting to know that that's 40. So Shilo and Moshe are both 345. And you must be thinking, didn't I just tell you a moment ago that it's the gematria of Mashiach? Ah, I said Yavo Shilo is the gematria of Mashiach. The word Yavo is 13. Yud is 10, Beis is 2, and Aleph is 1. You add 13 to 345, and you get yourself 358. Ah, so we have a gematria that says Shilo is Mashiach, Yavo Shilo, but Shilo himself is Moshe. And just to make life more interesting, the Baal HaTurim, right after he says, Yavo Shilo is the gematria of Mashiach, he says, but Shilo himself, gematria Moshe. Now this obviously is very hard to understand. I mean, the Zohar says that the Pasuk is talking about the coming of Mashiach, that we're referring to the royal bloodline of the Jewish people, but the Zohar clearly is telling us that Shilo is Mashiach, and we just learned, Rashi drawing on Tanchuma and Medrash Rabbah, and the Gemara and Masechet Sanhedrin that didn't even quote in Daf Tzadik Ches, and there's other Midrashim that say similar things. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in page 99, page Daf Tzadik Tes, and there's a Medrash Agoda. There's multiple places where we could find that refer to the concept of Shiloh of Mashiach. But the Zohar is telling us it's Moshe. So the Bala Turim now is going to, since he quoted the Zohar, he feels responsible to explain to you, how is that possible to refer to Moshe? How could it be Moshe? It doesn't even make any sense, actually. Yaakov is talking to Yehuda, and he says that there will be rulership, regency, leadership of the Jewish people until Moshe comes? Till Moshe comes? Well, was Yehuda a leader till Moshe came? Actually, Moshe Rabbeinu's father was a great leader. His grandfather was a great leader. He was the longest living one of the tribes, and Amram was the leader of the Jewish people. So what even does that mean? Where do we hear about Yehuda's leadership post-Yehuda? We don't really. Or so it seems. How does it refer to the coming of Mashiach? Ad ki yavo Shiloh. The Zohar itself says that Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda Do Mashiach Ben David. The Zohar starts off by saying, this is Mashiach. So that's Mashiach. What do you mean, till Moshe comes? How do you make sense out of that? So, by the way, I don't know if outside the Bala Turim anybody actually ever bothered to make sense out of it. I didn't find anybody else who explains it. But the Bala Turim explains it in a fantastic way. Mamash fantastic. But this itself takes like sleuthing to figure out what the Bala Turim is saying. Bala Turim says, okay, let's go on a little biblical journey. We're going to start off in Deuteronomy. Not with Jacob's blessings, but this time with Moshe Rabbeinu, the blessings that Moses gave to the tribes of Israel, which are very much a mirror image of the blessings that Jacob gave to the tribes. Because Moshe Rabbeinu also speaks about the future of Jewish history, and he also alludes to the potential, the possibility for each of the tribes. And he tries to encourage them and uplift them. He's inspiring them. So when we speak about the tribe of Gad, so Gad remained on the other side of the Jordan. Why did he remain on the other side of the Jordan? That's a good question. Well, the tribe of Gad, Reuven and Gad, they raised sheep, and they got really excited. So this gorgeous land, amazing pasture. They said, Moshe, stay right here. Moshe said, are you kidding? Stay here, not go to Israel. What will everybody else say? The whole negotiation said, no, it's not what we meant. We didn't say we're not going to fight. We're going to battle. We're going to fight. We're going to wage war. We want to expand Israel. Oh, okay, fine. So now Moshe Rabbeinu, in Vizot HaBracha, in his final address to the Jewish people, his final blessings, he says, Vayare Shitlo, speaking of God, who expands, that he blesses them to expand their territory, to guard their territory. He says, Vayare Shitlo. God saw, that the first portion of conquest, which means the east side of the Jordan River, that it was low, it was good for him, appropriate. It made sense for him. Why? Listen to this. You think sheep? Nah. Kishom. Chelkat Mechokek, because there was the portion, meaning the burial site, of the lawgiver. Who is the lawgiver? Who gives us the law of Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe gives us the law of Torah, and because Moshe gives us the law of Torah, God saw that Moshe would be buried on the other side of the Jordan River. And God said, we want to stay connected. The Ohel is here. We're staying here. We're staying with Moshe. Even if we don't know exactly where it is, we're staying over there. Now, who is this lawgiver? So the Torah comments on this lawgiver, Moshe. V'yese Roshe Om. This lawgiver went at the head of the people to lead them. And he did what God considered righteous, as he executed his judgments for the people of Israel, Tzidkat Hashem Asa u'mishpatav im Yisrael. By the way, these very words on the tombstone of the Rabbeim, Tzidkat Hashem Asa u'mishpatav im Yisrael. So Moshe went at the head of the people. So the Baal Turim says like this, how is Shiloh Mashiach? Dechziv Bei, it says about him, V'yesei Roshe Om. He was at the head of the people. All right. So Moshe led by going out in the front. But what? How does that answer the question? Balat Turim says, see, Bamidbar Rabbah. The 19th chapter of Medrash Rabbah of Bamidbar. All right. So, let's go take a look and see what it says there. Medrash Rabbah, chapter 19, subsection 13, says like this. God says to Moshe, tell me, you keep asking to go to Israel. How do you expect to be able to do this? How are you going to go to Israel? How can you go to Israel? Well, what's the problem? God let him go to Israel, and he go to Israel. So the Medrash explains with a parable. Moshe l'raya sheyotza lirais tzaynei. A shepherd was given the task of shepherding sheep. He's responsible. These sheep belong to the king. The nishbei satzon. And the sheep were captured, stolen. Bikash haraya likones lepaltan shomelech. So the shepherd wants to come into the palace compound. Amar le'amelech, the king said to the shepherd, Im at nichnas achshav, if you come now empty-handed, mayim rehabriyas, what would the people say? Sha'ata hishbeita hatzon, you yourself must have stolen the sheep. It's your responsibility. You didn't discharge your duty. Afkan amar le'akadosh baruch hu, says the Medrash, what is God saying to Moshe Rabbeinu? Be'ez upon him. How could you, so to speak, want to go to Israel in this way? Hashem said to Moshe, Shivchacho, what's your praise? What's the essence of Moshe? The essence of Moshe is that he is the one who redeemed the Jewish people. He is the redeemer. Hotzeita shishim riboy. You took out the multitudes, the proverbial 600,000. It's really 3 million plus. And then, where are they? Where are the 600,000 that Moshe Rabbeinu took out of Mitzrayim? What happened to them? What happened to them? How many of them went into Israel? Just about none. Two, Yehoshua and Kalev. Tribe of Levi, that's all. Ukvartim Bamidbar, and you buried them in the desert. So of the 600,000, which are the numbers without the tribe of Levi, we end up with two out of 600,000. Those are not good numbers. Va'ata machnis dor acher. You brought out one generation, and now you bring another generation into the palace, into Eretz Yisrael. Achshav yomru, now they'll say, Ein l'dor hamidbar chelek l'olam haba. It must be that the generation who died in the desert is never coming home. They will never rise again. But that, in fact, is not the case. Therefore, Ata tehei b'tzidan. Stay with them. Remain with them. V'tavo imahen. Mashiach, Emirat Hashem, will soon come. And what will happen is that Mashiach will come and Moshe Rabbeinu will lead the people that he took out of Mitzrayim across the border into Israel. Ah. So now it's starting to make some sense. Shanemar, as it is written, and here the Medrash goes to Deuteronomy 33, verse 21, which you mentioned before. V'yesei Roshei Om. He will lead at the head of the people. He will lead the people. Tzidkas Hashem also. The righteousness of God he did. He fulfilled his legal obligations. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to lead the people in Eretz Yisrael. When will he lead the people in Eretz Yisrael? When Mashiach will come. Yaakov Avinu is telling Yehuda, your progeny will become the leadership of the Jewish people. And you know how long that will be the leadership for? Ad ki yavo Shiloh, until Moshe, Shiloh, comes across the border and beyond. Yavo Moshe means Moshe coming to Israel. So Shiloh is Moshe. Moshe will come to Israel, leading the people. And when Moshe leads the people into Israel, everything is good. And the Balat Turim says, when did Yehuda rise to prominence? In the time of Moshe. Whoever heard of Yehuda's leadership in the time of Moshe? Ah, says the Balat Turim, you don't know that it says in Tehillim. It says in Tehillim, in Psalm 114, over there we speak about, these are the words of Hallel, and the words of Hallel, the second, the very, very second chapter of Hallel opens up with what? B'tzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, when the Jewish people, when Israel went out of Egypt, Beit Yaakov mi Amloez, the house of Jacob comes out from a nation that spoke a foreign tongue, and then Hayta Yehuda Lekadsho, Yehuda became his holy nation. Yehuda became his holy nation. Yes, because from the time of the Exodus and Moshe Rabbeinu took the Jewish people out, Yehuda took a leadership position in front of all the tribes. Who traveled first in the desert? In the formation, who was the first one to travel? Whose flag went first? The answer is Yehuda. And so everybody was following Yehuda. And furthermore, the Talmud tells us that when the Jewish people came to the Reed Sea, they had a vicious, balefully intended army coming down behind them. They had between rocks and mountain passes on either side. In front of them was a raging sea. Where do you go from here? Talking about between a rock and a hard spot. And Moshe said, forward. And who went forward? Yehuda. Who was the tribe led by? The leader of Yehuda was Nachshon. Nachshon ben Aminadav. By the way, Nachshon ben Aminadav is ultimately the direct ancestor of David HaMelech. Boaz, the grandfather of David, who marries Ruth, is a direct descendant of Aminadav, of Nachshon. So it was Yehuda who led the Jewish people because it was none other than Nachshon ben Aminadav representing the tribe of Yehuda who jumped into the sea. And in Psalm 68, we have a very interesting expression. In Psalm 68, it speaks about the Reed Sea, and it says, Sore Yehuda Rigmatam, the princes of Yehuda in their robes of royalty. What does the word Rigmatam mean? Take a look in Rashi, talking Psalm 68, verse 28. Rashi, in his second interpretation, says Rigmatam is Rikmat Levusham, which means embroidered vestments. Bigde Rikmatam, Lashon Argomon. Argomon was the wool of royalty. The wool of royalty. And the Ibn Ezra says Virigmason, like Sorim, like leaders, regents. And Regam Melech, monarchy. In other words, when Moshe Rabbeinu leads the Jewish people out, already then Yehuda rises to prominence, and he will continue to remain in the leadership position ad ki yovo Shiloh until Moshe comes back. So now we have two very disparate interpretations of the word Shiloh. One meaning Mashiach, and one meaning Moshe. And then within the Mashiach one, it can mean the Beis HaMikdash that Mashiach will build. So it can be one of two great Jewish leaders, or the greatest place on earth. And it's all in one word. And this is where we're going to begin tonight's class from. Because the Friedeke Rebbe, in a fantastic, amazing sicha that he delivered on Achron Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach, in the year 1939, this is the last Pesach before the whole world goes up in smoke. The last Pesach. World War II breaks out a few months later. And the previous Rebbe was talking about Mashiach incessantly, trying to uplift the people of Israel, inspire the people of Israel. He's talking about Mashiach. So he says, we have this business, Ad Ki Yovo Shiloh. As the Baal HaTurim puts it, Shiloh Gematria Mashiach, Moshe. Yavo Shiloh, Gematria Mashiach. So there's a corollary between Moshe and between Mashiach. And this is the Friedrich Rebbe's explanation. I'll read it to you in its original Yiddish. By the way, we have this. It's only a keta. It's only one piece of that Verbrengen which survived. We don't have the rest of the Verbrengen. We don't know what the previous Rebbe spoke about. We only have this piece. We have this piece because there was a secretary, one of the maskirim of the Friedrich Rebbe, whose name was Rabbi Yecheskel Feigen, Hashem Yinkov Damo, who was murdered by the Nazis. It was affectionately known as Chacha Feigen. Chacha Feigen wrote a letter to a number of people, and it was a mimeograph, if that's what they called it in 1939, a paper that was printed in the United States. It was called the Chabad Bulletin. It went out to different Chabad Hasidim in the United States and Canada in 1939. The original, they have in the Rebbe's library, they have the original. They have this little printed bulletin, like a typed up sheet. And Chacha Feigen wrote there that I copied this from the actual manuscript of the Rebbe. The Friedrich Rebbe wrote the Sikha himself, which was unusual. He didn't really write his own talks. His talks were mostly written by those who were present. So the Friedrich Rebbe actually wrote, this is actually the language of the Friedrich Rebbe. But he wrote in Yiddish a piece, a portion, a keta, of that Verbrengen of Wachen Shel Pesach. So the Friedrich Rebbe's commentary goes like this. He says, Beide, Meshe un Mashiach, is der ganzer Inyan Zeire von Kumen auf der Welt, both Moshe and Mashiach, the whole reason for their coming onto this world, so to speak, for being embodied terrestrially, is Geulas Yisrael. Geulas Yisrael, like you saw in the Medrash. The Medrash says, your whole Inyan, Shivchacha, your whole praises, you took the Jews out of Mitzrayim. The whole Inyan of Mashiach and the whole Inyan of Moshe is to take the Jewish people out of Golas. And the previous Rebbe comments, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, what is Gilei, is the Yidden from Golas Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu took the Yidden out of the Egyptian exile. This was, he says, Golas Rishon. That was the first exile of the Jewish people. And then what happened? Bald noch Kriyas Yamsuf, at the Rebbe Shte Baruch Hu gegeben de Teire durch Moshe Rabbeinu. Shortly after the crossing of the Reed Sea, God gives the Torah to the Jewish people through Moshe. Now, the previous Rebbe creates the mirror image. Mashiach goyel tzedek, Mashiach the righteous redeemer. Vet uisleis in the Yidden from them golos acharoin. He will redeem the Jewish people from the last golos. Vaz di geula, which this redemption, which will be vaz vazayim bekar of amen, which will be very speedily, durch Mashiachin, will be a geula shlema, a complete redemption. Vaz noch dem, after the redemption comes what? Just like after the redemption through Moshe Rabbeinu came the Torah. After redemption through Mashiach, that Mashiach lernen mit allem in Torah. Mashiach will learn with everybody Torah. And there's much to say about that. The idea of Torah Chadasha Mititetzia of Moshe, how Mashiach will be the teacher of the entirety of the nation of Israel. The Hefresh, the difference from the Werther, the difference between the two words, Moshe and Mashiach. What's the difference? What are they missing in the Gematria? Oh. They're missing 13. They're missing 13 because Mashiach is 345, it's 358, and Moshe is 345. 13. So this is the word Yavo. That's the word Yavo. The difference between Moshe and Mashiach, Moshe is the potential, and Mashiach is the actualization. It's like one continuum. By the way, this idea is explained in a phenomenal edited Sikha from the Rebbe, where he goes through this whole business of Moshe. He says, how could Moshe be the first Redeemer and the last Redeemer? Moshe is a Levi, Mashiach from Yehuda. And he explains that Moshe starts the process. He references this Keta, this excerpt of the Verbrengen of the previous Rebbe, and he builds a whole Sikha on this. But that's for a different episode of Beis Hashem. Or multiple episodes. Shiloh, as we learned, is the gematria of Moshe. What does that mean? The previous Rebbe explains to us. Das meint, that's meint zu sagen, as Moshe Rabbeinu had gewusst, Moshe Rabbeinu knew, that the Iker von alle Giluyim, that the primary thrust of all the revelation that the Jewish people were experiencing would only be in the future. Because all this revelation was merely an empowerment. It will be at such time when, as the prophet Zechariah says in the beginning of the 13th chapter of his prophecies, the Esruah Hatuma A'avir min Ha'aretz, the spirit of impurity I shall banish, remove from the earth. This is where Mashiach comes. As mevet mevarer u'mezachik zayin de midbar ha'amim, that we will be able to refine and perfect the proverbial desert of nations. The long sojourns of the Jewish people across blistering deserts and frozen tundra and all of its metaphors. Umevet gain in Shiloi Birina, and we will then finally cross this journey. We will finish our difficult, challenging journey of Golos, and we will enter Shiloh jubilantly. What is Shiloh? We learned, Rashi told us, Shiloh is the third base of Mikdash. So that's Yavo Shiloh. Yavo Shiloh means Mashiach will come. Moshe is before Mashiach comes. He is Shiloh himself. Yavo Shiloh means when Moshe Rabbeinu's mission is actualized. And the actuation of what Moshe Rabbeinu began is the coming of Mashiach, and then we will be Yavo Shiloh come into the Beis HaMikdash. So you see how the word Shiloh here in the Sikha of the Friedrich Rebbe has all three meanings. Moshe, Mashiach, and Beis HaMikdash. And it all comes together. Yavo Shiloh, coming to Shiloh, is the Gematria Mashiach. Friedrich Rebbe said, it's time already. It's time. It's 1939. It's time, he says. It's time for Mashiach to come. As Mashiach Goel Tzedek zol kumen un kol Yisrael me'arba kamfes aretz, that Mashiach, the righteous Redeemer, should come and he should gather all the Jewish people from the four proverbial corners of the earth. Zol engein b'simcho v'tuv livav v'shile. It's time for us to enter the third Beis HaMikdash. Then the Friedrich Rebbe says something astounding. In the Yavoi, in this word Yavo, Yavo means come. In the Yavoi is Farana Tiferemes. There's a deep allusion, a deep teaching, says the Rebbe. Deep teaching. Vastas is the Kli zu Bias HaMashiach. This is the, so to speak, the vessel. This is the mechanism, the methodology through which we can come to Mashiach. Yavo, we learned, has the numeric equivalent of 13. What other very important Jewish word, Hebrew word, Torah word, has the numeric equivalent of 13? Echad. Excellent. Yavo is the gematria echad. Das heißt. So what does he mean? Says the Friedrich Rebbe, das heißt, mit dem, was bei Yidden wird sein, der Inyan ha'achdus, if Yidden will get it together, this is our great secret, this is our great power, get it together. Bechlal, u'befrat, in general, we should try to be more unified. We're not doing too well at that these days. But he says, in dem Inyan ha'dibur von Mashiachin. If nothing else, we should at least all speak about Mashiach. If we could all speak the same language about Mashiach, that all express a yearning and a hope and an aspiration for Mashiach. And here, the next five words are italicized for emphasis. The Friedrich Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, wrote, Men soll reden wegen Mashiachen. Mashiach must become a subject spoken of. We need to speak about it. It shouldn't be the unspoken. You know, that word in davening that everybody swallows so quickly they don't even know what they said. That's no good. We need to speak about Mashiach. We need to speak about it. And the Rebbe said that min beratzon Hashem yizbarach mamshach zayin de gula shlema. This will help us to bring forth the total redemption through Mashiach. Goel tzedek v'mheiru v'yameinu amin. And here, the Friedrich Rebbe offers us a fantastical corollary between Mashiach and between Moshe and the idea of Hesach Hadas, which we were talking about, diversion of attention. We say, the Gemara says Mashiach will come when we divert our attention. No, that's not what it means, as we learned. Friedrich Rebbe says, when Moshe was born, seinen idische Herzer defreit geworden, there was a joy in people's hearts there was a joy. Zwischen ihnen hat man sehr viel besimcha gerät. People were speaking, this is it, this baby. He's our future. Wegen dem, as bei Amramin is geboren geworden Azun. Amram had a son, Amoshe, and they heard something special. This is big stuff. Something big is coming down. As men at Moshe zugenommen le beis paro, when Moshe was taken to be raised in the house of the Pharaoh, let me put it to you in the vernacular. The Rebbe's baby was taken to Hitler's house. In as many words. Just put it in the language that makes it a little more real for us. Seine Eden gewinnt stark versorgt. People are very anxious about them. This is terrible. It's terrible. He's a Hitler. He used to behead babies. Many babies every day. And squeeze their writhing bodies into a bathtub and bathe in their blood. Is that vicious enough? Think he could be in the running for a Hitler? That's your Pharaoh. And he, in his house, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to grow up. Was bei Amramin, Kadosh Yisrael, bei Amram, the Holy One of Israel, the Rebbe, hat mit zugenommen seinen Sohn, they took away his son. He's being raised in the source of the ultimate depravity. And here the Rebbe said, as Moshe is entlaufen von Mitzrayim, when Moshe Rabbeinu fled Egypt, haben Eden nicht Masiach das gewen von Moshe. They didn't forget about Moshe. They didn't forget about him. Mit dem ständig der Mund, they constantly mentioned his name. He was not forgotten. They didn't divert their attention. Und keseide wegen ihm gerät. Anybody hear from Moses lately? When is Moses coming back? Bis Hashem is baruch atrachmanus gat, till God had mercy. Und zugehört zu der jüdische Rede, he heard the Yidden speaking. Und gebet. Und es ist nimmscher geworden, Geula Mitzrayim, durch Moshe. And finally, the redemption happened through Moshe Rabbeinu. A long time later, by the way. He left as a teenager, came back, he was 80 years old. And the Friedrich Rebbe finished with these fiery words. Azay is eich in dem golus ha'achrein, so too we must do in our final golus. Da darf man ständig reden wegen Mashiach, and we need to talk about Mashiach all the time. Und we darf lernen Chassidus, and we have to learn Chassidus. It helps us to know about Hashem and to see the deeper purpose of existence. Nit Chassidim, you're not they, you should learn at least Sifrei Musar. It shouldn't just be an academic Judaism. Learn things that uplift and inspire. B'chdei mezol machen be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, so that we should make the emes ha'achona, the proper preparation, u'mekabel zeinim greisa oirach toiv, and we're going to receive the great, wonderful guest, Mashiachin, mit der richtigen Verstand, that we should have an understanding of what we're about to enter into. And you know, if you think about it, the Rebbe left us with this idea that we should learn about Mashiach. So when he comes, we actually understand who we're going to be greeting. If you don't know about Mashiach, talking about Mashiach is not just saying words. Talking about Mashiach is talking meaningfully about Mashiach. And there's lots to talk about. This is only our 31st episode. So I know this was much longer. I kind of promised that these episodes would be like 20-minute episodes. But when I prepared this class, I didn't know where to stop it. I didn't know how to chop it up. And I thought that you would forgive me for the length. But we have really a phenomenal concept about the concept of Hesach Hadas, a phenomenal understanding of forgetfulness and diversion. And it definitely is not the way we're going to bring Mashiach, quite to the contrary. So we'll continue to come together and to learn about Mashiach and talk about Mashiach, which will make us yearn for Mashiach. And that will accelerate the process of redemption. And we'll be zoicha mirtz Hashem to the coming of Mashiach tzidkenu. B'mheira ubi amenu, speedily and in our days. Amen. Thank you so much for joining. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and enable notifications. YouTube.com/Rabbi Mendel Kaplan. Hopefully, soon, these classes will be rendered moot because Mashiach otaka already be here. Amen.